Well, as we have said it many times already today, today is Mother's Day. And it's a day where we have to be nice to our mothers, right? Yeah. moms, they don't get enough respect. They do so much. I was joking around with Toots earlier. I said, do you guys get one day? That's it, just one day. And really, I know, wow. I was like, moms really should get a lot more than just the one day. Back in the day when we didn't have cell phones, and if you're younger than 40, that actually existed. We didn't have cell phones. And you had to make collect calls. They said, the phone company said that on Mother's Day was the day that the most long distance phone calls were made, because children were giving their moms a call. And on Father's Day, it was the day that most collect calls were made. But that really doesn't happen anymore, because now we have cell phones and we don't have to worry about long distance phone calls. But moms are forced, they're expected to play so many different roles in our lives, and we often don't notice all of what they do until they fail to do them. And so it's really important for us to stop, to slow down, to pause, and say thank you for all those things that our moms have done. And if my mom is watching, thank you, Mom, for all of what you're doing, have done for me. And you should be home because Dad needs to be quarantined. So I hope you are watching at home. But, it's true that not all of us could be considered a mom, but one thing I would venture a guess about today, right? And I know we're not all moms, but one thing I can say with almost 100% assurance, every single person in this room has been born, right? We were all born at one time. We all experienced some sort of physical birth. And I think that's the reason why scriptures use that illustration so frequently, because it's something that we can all relate to. We may not remember it, but we have all been born, right? We may not have been born as fishermen or kings or shepherds or priests or whatever, but we have all been born. And so this morning I'd like to focus on that. Not so much our physical birth, however, but our spiritual birth that comes through Jesus Christ. And if this is a concept that's difficult for you to understand, then you are in good company. In John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a renowned theologian in the Jewish community, a brilliant man. And he struggled with this concept. Now, this is a guy who knew Scripture, but he just didn't get it. In John chapter 3, it's written, the story goes, Rabbi, Nicodemus said as he's speaking with Jesus, we all know that God sent you to teach us, and your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Now, I imagine that there must have been some long pauses as Nicodemus struggled to grasp what Jesus was talking about, right? How is it possible to be born again? It just doesn't work out that way. He asked Jesus, literally, how can a man go back into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus very patiently explains to this very wise man that what it means to be born again is to receive a new life from God. And so he compares it with physical birth, telling Nicodemus that the flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. Basically, Jesus is telling Nicodemus that his mother gave him his physical life, but that his spiritual life must come from God, and that he must be born again to experience or to receive that spiritual life. This new birth is joyous in different ways from our physical birth, right? Our physical birth was joyous for our parents, but we were largely unaware of what was going on. In the new birth, however, we have a greater sense of the change that is taking place in our lives. Our first birth led us into a life of sin, but our second birth leads us out of that life of sin. In our first birth, we were helpless. And in our second birth, we find ourselves receiving help. In our first birth, our families responded with joy. And in our new birth, our spiritual family, as well as the all of heaven, will rejoice when we receive that. Now, I'm not a doctor or a midwife or anything like that, but I have watched enough medical shows to know that there is a lot of crying that accompanies being born when it comes to birth and babies, and there's a lot of crying that comes with new life. Now, this is what Paul says to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. He says, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received has brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." You know, the crying out we should expect with the physical birth, we should also expect with our spiritual birth. For if we have been born again, if we have received the Spirit, our response should be to cry out and to find God. I think there's at least three ways that we need to cry out in response to our spiritual birth. The first one is this, that we need to cry out to ask God for his help. We need to cry out to ask God for his help. This is actually a prerequisite for our new birth. Because before we are born again, we have to cry out to God. We have to acknowledge that we need his forgiveness. Because each and every one of us stand condemned before him. We need to cry out to him, to ask God to set us free and to save us, to redeem us, to buy us back from our sinfulness. Secondly, then after we are born, we need to cry out in praise to God. You know, newborn babies don't recognize the pain and suffering that accompany the mother having to go through the birth process in order to give them life. But as believers, we should recognize the sacrifice of our Heavenly Father. And Jesus told the Pharisees in Luke chapter 19 that if the people didn't cry out to God to praise him, that the stones would do that. And if we would understand even a little bit of what Christ went through for us, we would praise him. And as we grow in our understanding and as we grow in our faith, we will gain a greater understanding of what God has done for us. And that should increase our desire to cry out in praise to him. Third, we need to cry out about the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, this isn't so much a crying out to God, but a crying out for God. This is what happens time and time again in Scripture when Jesus sets someone free. Right? It isn't that they had prayed a specific prayer or were baptized in a certain way or performed miracles or anything else like that. But what happens when they hold in common is that after they believed in Jesus Christ, they would speak boldly for him. They would want to tell others about what Jesus has done in their lives. And it's interesting to note that most of these people were not pastors or apostles or anything like that. They were just healthy new believers who cried out about what God had done in their lives. They grasped what God had done, and they needed to tell someone else. They had to cry out to tell the world. You know, it doesn't even end there. I mean, the thought process just doesn't end there. You know, just like as we are babies and we're born again and we cry out, we need to start growing up. And we need to begin thinking about how we are to grow up in the ways that we act and the ways that we think. You know, a baby crying is pretty acceptable. You know, it's acceptable to us. You know, last night, Jan and I were out to eat, and their table next to us must have been a little bitty baby because he just had that really, you know, that newborn cry, and I could hear it, and, you know, it didn't bother me. I just didn't remember those sounds, you know. They kind of bring a tenderness to your heart. And if there was a 10-year-old sitting next to me crying, it'd be a little bit of a different story, right? It'd be a little less acceptable. Because as we grow up, we learn that, you know, we don't always get what we want. A newborn baby is crying out because they need to be held, they need to be loved, because they need to be fed, they need to be changed. 10-year-old just might be crying out because, you know, they want something that isn't good for them, and mom and dad are saying no. But as we grow, we learn that you don't always get what you want, and we learn the difference between wants and needs. And as Christians, the same thing should happen to us. As new believers, right, we start off at a pretty basic level, and that's okay. Like, what do we need to know in order to be saved? Right, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible told me so. The Bible is written so that any one of us, it doesn't matter what our age, that if we read it, we can know Jesus. But there comes a time when we need to grow up in our faith. And Paul, when he was addressing the Corinthian church, he said this about their spirituality in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it." You know, babies aren't ready for solid food. They need to drink milk. But there comes a point in time when a child really does need to start eating solid food. And I loved holding Sophia when she was a baby and feeding her bottle. Right? There was just nothing better than that. And I'd look down at her and she'd look up at me, and it was just this beautiful moment. Well, she graduated from the bottle, right? Because babies can't have a bottle forever. And she went to a sippy cup, but I could still hold her. So she'd hold her sippy cup. I didn't have to hold her sippy cup. She could hold it for herself. I'd look down at her. She'd look up at me, and, you know, all was right in the world. I had to watch my daughter go off to prom last night. They went to dinner. She fed herself. I'm not going to tell that in the later service when she's here. And, you know, I'm conflicted by it all. But it's natural. It's healthy. She needs to grow up. She needs to learn how to feed herself. And just as ridiculous as it is to give a newborn steak, right, because they would choke on it. They wouldn't enjoy it. Newborn needs someone to feed them. But again, there comes a time when we need to grow up and learn to feed ourselves. And we need to do the things that the Bible asks us to do. Right? To interact with God's word. And, you know, God can handle those tough questions that we ask him. But do it in the context of reading his word. You know, we should give back to him. The Bible asks us to tithe back to him. And that's hard. It's difficult. But as we grow up, we learn to trust in God, and we can do that. The Bible tells us that we should tell others about the sacrifice of Jesus. And it's hard. It can be intimidating to talk to someone else. But as we grow up, we realize we can do that. The Bible tells us that we should make serving others a priority. The Bible tells us to serve in a way that makes us uncomfortable, because when we are uncomfortable, we're not resting in what we can do. We're resting in what God can do through us. And so when we do these things that God has called us to do, no matter how scary, we learn that God will take care of us and helps us to grow. As you get older, you realize, you know, as an adult, you sometimes stumble into this truth: I'm becoming like my dad, or I'm becoming like my mom, becoming like a combination of the both of them. You know, you catch yourself saying the things that they said and doing the things that they did. You know, God is that perfect parent who lavishes us with love. He disciplines us when it's necessary, and he tells us what we need to succeed in life. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it, and he makes sure that all of our needs are met. And our goal should become more and more like our Heavenly Father. And we should be constantly working at developing these traits that look like him. I mean, wouldn't it be great to be able to look into our lives and recognize the things that we're doing look like our Heavenly Father? That we are developing the traits that Jesus has. You know, showing compassion for others and being humble, being a servant of God and to others, to teaching the truth about sin and sharing God's plan of salvation, to make time for others, making knowing God's word a priority and spending time in prayer with him. And the more we spend time with God, the more we are going to be like him. And I encourage you to pray about that, you know, and to tell God, you know, one of those phrases that parents love to hear. You know, God, when I grow up, I want to be like you. Now, today is Mother's Day. It is a national reminder for us to show appreciation to the women who brought us into the world and who helped raise us. You know, there are all sorts of things that our moms should be praised for. And we could run out of words by thanking them. But the truth is, most moms don't care about what you give them. They simply enjoy being remembered. They want to be loved. And it's much the same with the Lord. You know, today is a day to remember that this is God's day, and that we are called to be like him. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your love for us. We are grateful, Lord, that despite our humanness, we can look and act like you. And God, we are thankful for our mothers. We are thankful for the women in our lives that have helped make us who we are. Lord, thank you for you, and thank you for all of what you have done to make us who we are. Lord, help us to grow up, and help us to grow up in you. Jesus, we love you, and thank you for loving us, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.